Thank you, Joan, Don, Chris, all the poets that preceded me and all the poets that I've interacted with. It's a wonderful community. All of you know that I'm not a scientist, but some of you know that I'm scientist adjacent. So in tune with Joan, I'm wearing my Bronx Science hat. I am one of the Bronx High School of Science's failures. But you know, that's where I learned to love birds. In a field biology class that I took so I could get out of the building. So. Okay, and this poem is about communicating science, which I think was actually Mike Schneider's job for a long time. And it sort of was my job too. Dear science, you've always been, as mother says, smart, smart, but for marketing, you've no head. Little brother, I have your best interests at heart. For instance, you'll turn a solution brick red from its original clear, beautiful blue. Dear, anyone can muddy waters. Instead, if you want to impress, turn the brick red to clear. And why do you disclose how your best tricks are done? Does a chef reveal recipes? Nobody wants to hear your logics and mathematics. Be like me, keep your mysteries. Dim the lights, brother, put on soft music. Whisper, be secretive, elusive, flicker. You'll find rich and eager listeners. Fondly, your elder sister, magic. So my book is called City Bird. And I decided that I would share any proceeds, which I don't actually expect any, with 314.org. If you're a geek, you can recognize why it's called 314, because of pi, which is Bill Nye the Science Guy's organization, which is very intensely interested in saving the planet. So I didn't grow up in the woods or near the woods or anything like that. I grew up in Manhattan, and this is a poem about some of my early nature experience. It's called Mantis. Far from any tree or blade of grass, on a street where sparrows chirped above a storefront, it appeared in my bedroom. We children believed there was a $200 fine for killing a mantis, but who would hurt it? So green and large and human, so upright and grasping, surely an ambassador to me in that room, where my mother drew down the dark green shade that in summer admitted pinpoints of light, my first constellations. And a recent poem, On the Land. I pulled some plants that showed too early green when I might have been writing poetry. On the way to the compost heap, with a kind of bouquet, fleshy roots, round leaves, I thought of a poet, farmer, prophet who urges, get back to your roots, back to the land, to soil and toil, to your home place, your forefather's place. My roots are in Manhattan, north of Harlem. When my sixth grade teacher gave us morning glory seeds, I dug dirt from the park to plant mine, guiltily. A white worm arched out. I shuddered and buried it again until it enfolded green wings. Oh, poet, my forefathers had no land, but now in my garden in Pittsburgh, wrens build rabbit's brows and rhododendron open water lily blooms to bees in June, which it is doing right now, actually. And as for invasives, garlic mustard is absolutely worse than Sheila portrayed it. Because some years ago, I got a book from Princeton University Press on butterflies, and it explained what the food plants and plants that they bred on were. And garlic mustard disguises itself as one of those plants, but it's actually toxic to them, to the caterpillars, I guess. And I, perhaps unwisely, bought a lot of native plants, which is another word for weeds. And currently my whole backyard is like invisible under the bee balm, which is about to, you know, Monarda bee balm. So that I'm doing my part. But I don't know where the heck my grandson is going to play when he comes to visit us. So this is... because we are not angels. Why not thank God for gravity in which we move and have our being, as fish swim, drink, and taste the sea, their fins like prayer flags fluttering? Why wish for flight? Each step a fall forward, we trust as gannets trust the air launching from bluffs, relying on our mothering planet's pull, each 1 foot in front of the other day. And why not wonder at number and all the natural laws? Being fallen, we pause to feel the heart's chamber's pulse only when its meter fibrillates, fails. I want to read one that's very, okay, I'll take off my science. Christine Akins Wolf often says she wears many hats. I don't wear many hats, but more than one. This one is called Solstice, and it's like exactly at this time of year. But if you listen to the first line, you know that we've had, this year we've had, I think, half again as much rain as Seattle. So I'm not putting out any sprinklers right now. Solstice. I've set out the two-armed sprinkler and turned up the water, and a robin has come like an heir to the new moistened ground. It isn't the rain of nature that thrums and ripples with summer lightning. Still he probes the moist ground as I sit and watch the water dancing, the great sleeves gesture describing the pull of earth on water, driving itself, playing the play of what is and will be, what goes on whether our gardens bloom or rot or wither, the play that will continue when we are gone with our air and our earth and our water. And it's evening. The robin is stationing himself on a wire to sing the day to dark. Soon I will stretch my two arms to the night as fireflies enter, their cool torches glowing like upward meteors to prolong long, long, this longest of the days. And Privet Flower. In a neglected neighborhood where tree roots heave up sidewalks and mulberries stain cars, I stand on a June evening and drink a delicious scent. Not rose or magnolia who open their hearts all day, but the pale, unnoticed daughter who lights her lamp in the burgher's hedge or the tree of the ignorant man. The lilac's small sister casts this song on the night. The privet who casts her scent across the sidewalk distracts me from my business or recalls me. I think I'll conclude with this this poem, which Mike Sims published in Vox Populi Sphere. Just sayings. You can't get anything clean without getting something dirty, but you can get everything dirty without getting anything clean. Ought to be a country song, I'm thinking as I sponge out the bathtub. Wish fulfillment is why cleaning products are called magic and have a genie emblem. And I'm thinking of the Green New Deal as I water the amaryllis, which has finally flowered on the last day of February after years of no bloom. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs, but you can break a lot of eggs and not have an omelet. I've been there at meetings where somebody sang, "We'll dance on your grave, motherfucker," and I enrolled in the Peace and Freedom Party, but wound up voting for Dick Gregory, an unremembered saint, instead of a convicted rapist or the Democratic former labor candidate, and Nixon got 4 more years. Water under the bridge between generations. I'm for both the Green and the New Deal, the old New Deal that brought electricity to the South, the CCC and the WPA, but left Black people out of the benefits, and the Green Deal that we need if we aren't going to hell in an ice cap melt. You can't fool all of the people all of the time, but you can fool all of the people some of the time, and some of the people all of the time, and if they live in Montana or Wyoming, that seems to be enough. Thank you.